What episode is this?
We got episode six.
Episode six. Okay. Sorry, guys. It's been a long week. But welcome to episode six of the Sports Bible. I'm Michael.
I'm Jackson. And we'll kick it off like we usually do with the Bradford sports recap. Last Thursday, we held the second trials for the men's and women's soccer, varsity soccer. Women's team, they are pretty much decided. They have 16 that we informed by. They have their team ready. Guys, I'd say about just over half showed up again. Not as much as first tryouts, but we're getting to crunch time where it's starting to get cuts and the team's going to get finalized. And pretty much that's for soccer. Michael, how'd you feel you did on last week's trouts?
I to be honest, I wasn't fully engaged, I think. There was a lot of stuff going on. And then it kind of reflected on my performance. I think I definitely could have done a lot better. I think you could kind of see the energy. Even though there was less people, I think you could kind of see the energy wasn't the same as the first one. I think the first one was a lot better in terms of everyone. But I'm glad there's one more just so I can, you know, show what I can really do. Rested up a lot this weekend, so I'll have a lot more energy to go. How about you?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I feel like I could have done a lot more. I felt like just a bit gassed out there.
Yeah.
Definitely, it sucked that we didn't have enough time. We only had like an hour.
Yeah, I know.
They really proved to the coach what people are made of. There was a couple of moments I had. Definitely the passion wasn't there for the team-wise. I saw a couple of, heckles from, within the team. I think it was the red team. No, not red. I think the yellow team or green team. definitely some frustration spoiled over there in the middle of a game. The ending was brutal. Those burpees.
Yeah.
And the sprints. I get people, purple team had eight. There's no way the rest of the people did 10. I'm doing it. I'm like, there's no way these guys are done. There's no way they are done here. I was at like five and they were like done. I'm like, there's no way that they just did half before I'm done my half. There's no way.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were.
A lot of people were just done. They were just done with the whole thing. I'm looking across the line. I'm like, there's no way. I'm looking at like some people. I'm like, nah, there's no way. No way. But, you know.
I agree.
It's whatever. Obviously, this is next trials Thursday at, I think, same time, I think 8 to 9.
Yeah.
But yeah, that wraps up the soccer for varsity in Brantford. This week we have the big news for Brantford sports and nationals take place on Saturday, November 13th in South Calgary, Alberta for the cross country team. They take off Thursday at 6:30 PM. And they'll be there until Sunday, the 14th. And that's pretty much not much going on in Brantford sports. Not much big races, no big games yet. Season is winding up for the cross country. This will be the last race. And then we're straight into soccer. Big games will be taking place in the new year. But Brantford sports from now until January will just be 2-minute recaps of how practice went or how trials went. So that wraps up Brantford sports. Move on to the next topic here. Kind of switching gears from Brantford soccer to Premier League soccer. We have the recap of last week's performance. couple of good games, a couple of upsets. Arsenal being Arsenal, big win for them. Emile Smith Rowe coming in clutch. Should have won 2-0. Aubameyang being greedy and touched that ball. But overall, I'm happy we secured 3 points. Close game against Watford, but I had no doubt we're going to beat them.
Yeah, I definitely think we should have scored more goals. The team performance was okay. I think we defended well. I like where things are moving. But again, this is a game we should have won. We had to win. And I think it's about the next game against Liverpool that's really going to show where we're at as a side. Like you mentioned with the upsets, Liverpool did lose this weekend to West Ham. It was a really good game. Really showed how far West Ham has come. And kind of shows how Liverpool do have some weaknesses that can be pinpointed.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I would count that as an upset, though. You know, West Ham has been, they've been balling out this season. They're, you know, securing the spot as a top four on the team in the Premier League. Obviously, you think of the West Ham, you think of Liverpool, just by like the history and the team, you know, and how much Liverpool means to Premier League. And you think of West Ham, they have been brutal, you know, for seasons. But this season, I could really say that, you know, West Ham is a team not to be, you know, messed with. They've come out. And they've shown that they can beat any team in the pretty much in the league. Obviously, beating Liverpool 3-2 in a close game. They were up 3-1. Liverpool should have tied it. Mane did miss that header in the 90th minute. But good saves from Fabianski. Good saves from Alisson. But yeah, West Ham 3-2. To me, I don't personally think it's an upset now. You know, I think West Ham is a top team now. So.
That's fair. That's fair.
But if you're a regular, you know, if you're new to watching soccer, then but you know Liverpool, you know the West Ham, then I can see why it's an upset. Definitely good week of soccer. In the Prem, Man United did not look very well. another defeat under Ollie. 2-0 against Man City. The Manchester Derby did not end well for Old Trafford, but that's a topic we'll be getting into in just a couple minutes. But moving on to the other games, we have, I don't know who else played here. I'm trying to think here. We have
West Chelsea. Western. Chelsea dropped some points.
Oh, right. They did drop some points.
I think it was Burnley. It was a 1-1 draw. Also, Spurs with their new manager, with Conte. I wanted to bring that up to you. We know how well-respected Conte is in football. You know, everywhere he goes, he wins a trophy. He has a, you know, style of play, which is very it's very unique. But it looks to have worked in multiple leagues, so you can't really fault it. I think the Chelsea thing is nothing to be worried about. We know that Chelsea will be, you know, fighting at the top of the league for the rest of the year. They're still top right now, 3 points ahead of City and West Ham. But the Spurs thing, do you think Spurs can salvage anything for the rest of the season? Because there is still a lot of time left. And with a manager like Conte, I do think anything is possible. I'm not scared, but you do have to respect the man's resume and see like what he's done. So do you think they can salvage anything this season?
You know, part of me is saying no, because I hate Tottenham. But to be honest, I don't, it's that was a toss-up. Obviously, it was a 0-0 draw against Everton, which they should have beat, knowing, you know, Everton's kind of fallen off the past couple of seasons after, you know, Hamas Rodriguez was finally, you know, not played, and everything just kind of fell off from there. Obviously, they lost No, they still have Ancelotti. No, yeah, they lost Ancelotti. But I'm gonna say no. I don't think. I think they're gonna be a mid table team this year. I don't see him improving. I don't see players. I mean, obviously Conte is a great coach. But I just don't feel like he has the right players in that team. Obviously, they need to let go of Kane, grab the money, and find that prolific striker. Obviously, Kane is a prolific striker, but just someone who's just world class, and I feel like that's what they need. Obviously, they have Son, they have Bergwijn. They need some help in the defense. Bad. I think Lloris's time is up in Tottenham. The midfields need some help. So as long as Conte can just pinpoint those needs, then I think next season they'll be a threat. But this season, I don't see him doing anything else. Haven't been performing. And they're just dropping points every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair to say.
Yeah, I know. That's my stance on telling him. Even speaking that, putting that word in my mouth, just makes me want to throw up. It's a team that I love when they lose. It's just, and now that they're mid-table, they're slowly falling apart. It's just, I feel like every time they just get worse, Arsenal just gets better. So I'll take it. I will take it.
I will definitely take that.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, Tottenham, they are a mid-table team this year. Next year, they might have some sort of a threat, but definitely over the 3 years that Conte signed, they're going to do something. They're going to bring him at least one trophy, if it's the Community Shield, League Cup, FA Cup, Europa League, Champions League. They're definitely bringing home a trophy when Conte's in that position. So I ain't too worried about Tottenham for this season. I ain't worried about next season. But if Conte does step in and sells Kane and Lloris and gets the money and brings in better replacements, then it's time to get worried. But right now, they're at the back of my mind. I don't really think about them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that would be the smartest thing for him to do. Sell Kane, sell Lloris, kind of cash in on both those guys while he still can. And just redo the team to the way he wants. I do think, I understand Kane is world-class and all of that, but I do think the way Spurs play, he hinders, their team as a whole. Because, yeah, he'll get his goals, but their team really won't be playing well. The performances don't really add up to how much goals he scores. So I think it's both of their best interests if Kane leaves and Conte brings in the guys that he wants. But, yeah, they'll be a mid-table team this year. It'll take some time for them to become a problem. But, you know, we'll deal with that problem when it comes. So yeah.
We don't have that. Arsenal's just slowly in that. When it comes to that derby, I have so much confidence in definitely securing 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
But Premier League is full of surprises. We don't know. Tottenham could jump up to the top of the league in 2 weeks. So
mm-hmm.
That's the beauty thing about the Premier League, beauty thing about football is you don't know. There's no for sure favorite in any match. So
yeah, for sure.
Which brings excitement to every time you watch a game. It doesn't matter if it's Leeds against Watford or something. It's always going to be exciting games. And I always feel like, when it's games, when it comes to the bottom teams, like Norwich or Leicester, not Leicester, I mean Leeds, Watford, like Burnley, every time those teams play, I just always get, I don't know, game of the years. I don't know what it is. Mm. If it's top teams going against each other, it's either a draw or it's a smacking from one of the teams. But when it comes to two worst teams, two bottom teams, or two below under mid-table teams. It's always goal for goal. It's always, I don't know what it is, but they always create game of the years. And it's so they're so underlooked. And it's, yeah, I get you want to watch Stars and stuff, but if you want to watch a good game and a battle, then definitely tune into the bottom table teams, because they will not disappoint. Because they have either A, they have nothing to play for if they're already getting relegated, or B, they have something to play for if it's a win and they're getting out of the relegation zone. There's always something to play for in the bottom teams, always, which is exciting.
Yeah, I agree. Especially, I think that's the value of the Premier League. Every game's kind of a battle. It's not as straightforward to know who's going to win every week. And especially those lower teams that are, you know, constantly battling, they always provide good games. And I feel like that's not the same across every league. Like, even in La Liga, for example, those bottom teams, like, they just stay trash. They don't, you know what I mean? They don't. They don't really compete. You know, you get your one-off wins against the Real Madrid and the Atletico, but majority of the time, it's not happening. But in the Prem, it's, you know, it's much more likely for a Burnley to beat a Liverpool, or like a Newcastle to beat a Man United. It's just more common to see, and it makes it more interesting. So that's why the Premier League is the best league in the world, which we can get into, you know, in another video, but another episode, sorry. But I think the Premier League undoubtedly is the best league in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Going off your point where it's, when you said like the bottom teams don't really, like, it's like, you know, it's not like very stay trash and stuff. Like, even last year, you know, Aston Villa came up and they spoke Liverpool 7-2. Like, you won't see that any other league. You won't see a bottom team go up against a prime Barcelona and smack them 7-2. Like, yeah, you'll get PSG, you'll get like a Madrid doing that, but you'll never see a bottom team go in there and just hammer one of the tops, which is what I like in the Prem, because you don't know, pretty much the main message of the Premier League is you don't know what you're going to expect. Mm-hmm. It's always something new, and it's hands down the best league in football. A lot of other people will say no, just because they're either a Madrid fan or they're a Bayern fan or Juventus fan, right? So I get where their bias is coming from, but you ain't going to get an evenly matched games in every game in the Prem than you're going to get, you know, you're not going to get in any other league. So Premier League, which we can go on about this forever, but that's, as he said, it's another episode. We talk about why the Prem is the best compared to Bundesliga or the La Liga or Serie A. So, just the best out there. And sticking in the Premier League, going back to United, the crisis they're having right now and their struggles. Obviously, Ronaldo's doing his best to keep him relevant right now. Seems like they're performing well in the Champions League, but they are performing well in the Prem. And I don't know why. I don't know why.
Man United, they just don't know what they're doing. Again, like the play style they want to play, they don't have it figured out. I think a lot of the players that they have are overrated, especially Harry Maguire. They do have a lot of firepower, but they don't know how to pair the firepower together. I think leaving Jadon Sancho on the bench is, that's kind of sad for how much you bought him for. You know, forcing Rashford into the side where, you know, he just came back from injury and he hasn't really done anything to prove that he should be in the, you know, squad every single game. I feel like competition they have, it's good in the sense of they have a lot of world-class players, but it's not being utilized properly. And when you have someone like Ronaldo on your team, you have to play to his strengths all the time. But if your team can't even defend, then you're kind of just wasting his talent. And like you said, you know, in the Champions League, they're playing a lot better, but it feels like they're getting bailed out a lot by Ronaldo. And that's not a recipe for success long-term. So that's why it just feels like when I watch them play, it's just like they just don't know what they're doing. They don't know how they want to play. They don't know how they want to defend. So it's kind of just all over the place.
Yeah. Even in the Champions League, it's not like confident wins. It's not for sure wins. It's last minute goals that Ronaldo has to save him.
Yeah.
Against Atalanta, they tied it up. Valencia, it was a game winner for Ronaldo. And for that, it's like, I'm not even too sure that they can even make it out of the group stage. It's their team now. It's they've kind of switched with Arsenal. Now they're the laughingstock of the Premier League right now, which obviously is good for us. You know, our Arsenal's kind of out of that zone. But, yeah, I don't know. What's, you know, obviously as you said, Sanchez on the bench. Sitting on the bench for like 70 mil, and he's sitting on the bench. He's not coming off until like 70th minute. Rashford ain't performing as he should be. Bruno and Pogba started off the season on fire.
Yeah.
And I don't know, they've kind of slowed down. Maguire's overrated, as I said, and it will always say Maguire is not worth that money. The keepers are right, you know, Gea and Henderson. But it's not really their fault, you know. If I get Varane's out, he's still out with injury. Wan-Bissaka, it's Wan-Bissaka, Luke Shaw. They just need a whole new revamp of that defense. Obviously, to try bringing in Varane, you got hit with an injury. It's not really their fault. Bring in some new center mids. Pogba wants to leave, let him leave. Don't hold him. And just revamp that whole, like, they have so many good players on the bench that they bought for money and they just sit there. Obviously, you know, Van der Beek, Sancho, sitting on the bench for absolutely nothing. Bring him in. Bring in Sancho. Sit Martial. Sit Rashford if you have to. Sit Greenwood. Get Sancho some playing time because that's what Dortmund gave him playing time, and him and Haaland were the dynamic duo. And I feel like it could be Sancho and Ronaldo at the top there if Sancho gets some more playing time. But I don't know. All he needs to leave, he needs to reset the whole squad, take the manager out, and just bring in someone new. Get that defense fixed. Get that some of that midfield fixed. Let the players leave if they want to leave. You having disgruntled players, which aren't going to work. In that squad, and they have so much pressure on them. It's Man United. You think of Man United, you think of the, if not, you know, the greatest, you know, second greatest team in the Premier League history wise. It's Old Trafford. You're going to get loyal fans from wherever, and I just feel bad for the fans because they're getting horrible football.
Yeah, it is not a pretty, it's not a pretty sight. I agree with how you said it's mainly on the manager. I think Ole, especially Man United, how it's such a great club, the history and everything. I just don't understand why they play so fragile, if you know what I mean. I think with all that offensive firepower, you should be dominating games. You know what I mean? I know they have, you know, limitations in the midfield, but I think you can hide those limitations if you're a good manager. I know McTominay and Fred, to me, they're horrible. They're trash. They're not Man United quality at all. But you can hide those deficiencies by just maximizing the Pogba and the Fernandes, their strengths. Even Van de Beek, I don't know why he's not playing all the time. But that's a testament to the manager not knowing what he's doing. The differences in their tactics, it just doesn't work. It doesn't fit. And it's a simple solution, which I think you mentioned, just about just sack the manager, the players that don't want to be there. So if Pogba has to go, Pogba has to go. Fix the midfield, and then fix the back line, because Maguire is not the answer. Wan-Bissaka is limited. Luke Shaw is Luke Shaw. And yeah, just rip it apart, get a new manager, and make Man United great again. But at the same time, I am enjoying Man United losing. This is great. This is pure comedy.
Yeah.
I hate Man United fans. I don't know if I might hate them the most. Because Spurs, the thing is, Spurs don't challenge us. So, like, they're fans. I just hate them because they're Spurs. But in terms of pure hatred, I feel like Man United might be the worst.
Jeez. For me, I can't stay at Chelsea fans.
Yeah.
Once you get that glimpse of hope, and they take it. Even that's Tottenham too. That's, I feel like that's every big club. They just have the glimpse of hope. Mm. But the Man United right now, the team is just an embarrassment. Straight on embarrassment to the Prem. I feel to their fans. I feel bad for Ronaldo. I don't know why he left. He should have took definitely another team. Maybe even Man City. I feel like.
Oh, no. You can't play for Man United and then go to Man City. I don't even think it's his fault, because on paper, it looked like he walked into a good situation.
Oh yeah, 100%. Once they brought in Sancho, and they brought mm-hmm. in and the, you know, Fernandes finally were shining, and now they're bringing in Ronaldo. It's just okay. This on paper, an easy Premier League winners right there.
Yeah.
Now look at them. Now they're just embarrassing to the whole everything. I don't know what it is. They can't. I feel like. They went in the Prem close. I mean, they went in the Prem Champions League closely. They come back to the Prem and they can't even score a goal. I don't know. Just one word just explains the whole situation. It's just embarrassing.
Yeah.
An embarrassment to Manchester. Obviously, City runs that derby. It's Manchester blue. It's not red anymore. It'll be blue for a while unless they really fix that. That situation in Manchester, it's something. I don't know. It just feels like they have one good season and they have a horrible season the next.
Yeah. I think that's the best way. Very inconsistent. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I don't know. They kind of remind me of Barcelona.
Ooh.
Like, not Barcelona, like, past. I'm talking Barcelona now. Like, present Barcelona, that's what Man United reminds you of. A team that should be winning, a team that should be in the top, fighting for the trophy, but they're just embarrassing.
Yeah, the Barcelona's their staff did not handle the money situation properly. Obviously letting someone like Messi go, it's hard to, especially since they didn't plan for that. I think it's just. Yeah, it's gonna be really bad before it gets really good again. At least Man United have the players to, you know, compete. But Barca, they just have their kids, you know, and some talent with, you know, Dembele and Depay. But they're just relying on their academy for a while until that money situation, you know, fixes up.
Exactly.
So I guess for the kids, you know, this is their time to, you know, make their name for themselves. They got Xavi now. I think that was announced this morning.
Xavi's finally in.
So, which is good. You know, he knows the club, obviously, in and out and all of that. Bringing some continuity, you know, a style of play that they're probably all going to be familiar with. So, that definitely helps in a time of crisis. But it'll be a while till we see the Barcelona we know and love.
Yes. Speaking of Barcelona, this week's episode was all about trying to interact with the viewers. We both, me and Michael, put questions or put a little section on our stories, Instagram stories, for people to send us some questions. And for the last bit of this episode, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to bring in questions that people asked, and you can get our opinions on it. Speaking of the Barcelona situation, that was actually one of the questions I got was, how do we think about the Barcelona situation? Obviously, we touched on it a bit. But as I said before, earlier, they're an embarrassment, just like Man United. But at least they're attacking the problems. They let go of Coleman. They brought in Xavi. Will Xavi do good? We don't know. A lot of players that turn into managers struggle. We saw Frank Lampard struggle in Chelsea and saw him struggle in Derby. Arteta was struggling a bit in Arsenal. He's trying to get on the ground there. I'm sure Pep and Zidane struggled when they started off. So I feel like Xavi's going to struggle. Obviously, his first game as manager, they were up 3-0 at half. They ended 3-3 in regulation at the full time. Dembele, that guy can never stay healthy.
Never. It's so sad. Because he's so good. Like, he's on his day, he's one of the best wingers in the world. Like, he's so talented, but he just can't stay healthy. And he's so young too, so it's kind of disappointing.
It feels like he never ages. I don't know. Yeah. It's like Martin Odegaard. He's been in the, you know, FIFA for so long, mm-hmm. and he's only like 23.
Yeah,
like Dembele never ages. But I'm sure Barcelona's getting tired of him, but getting injured. Yeah. So I'm not gonna be surprised if he does get sold, but. I did like watching him in Dortmund. He was a great young star. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping he can get past his injury bugs that he's been dealing with for the past 3 to 5 years. 3 years. But yeah, as you said before, Barcelona is relying on their youth academy, which I can kind of see in the long run. They're definitely heading towards a long-term goal instead of the short-term. Obviously, Pedri is improving. He's going to be one of the best midfielders in the game in the next couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like an attacking Conte who just has a stamina to be all around the midfield for 90 minutes straight. Doesn't look like he's getting tired. They brought in Depay, which is a great signing. He had a great year at the Euros. Great year last year, I think. Did he play for Lyon?
Yes. Yeah, it was Leo.
Yeah, great year there. Former United guy. They brought in, what's the guy's name from, he played for Switzerland.
Oh, De Jong?
Not De Jong. De Jong was good. De Jong and Pedri are going to be like that next great midfield duo. Mm-hmm. It's the guy who played for Switzerland in the Euros. Starts with the B, striker. Forget his name. Has like no hair at the top.
I know his name, but I don't know the pronunciation. I don't want to butcher it.
Yeah,
Hold on.
He needs, like, I don't know why they brought him in. I don't know why they need a striker. They need someone who's gonna get goals. Someone who's gonna be around the net the whole time. I don't feel like he's the guy for it. But yeah, Barcelona is just in a situation where they dug himself a hole and they can't seem to get themselves out. Once they sold Messi, everything went downhill.
Yeah.
I guess that's the Messi effect.
It is. Just looking at their team. Their team is just so young. You know, they have so much to learn, which is okay. It's just for a club like Barcelona, I just feel like they never thought they were going to be put in this situation. So it's obviously hard for them to deal with it. The whole Griezmann thing, when they signed Griezmann and now they loaned him back to the team he just played for, Atletico. Like, I just find that very weird. They don't really know. The signings they've made are a little suspect. But I think, yeah, it's gonna be really bad before it gets really good. The transition process, it'll take some time to get into effect. I think, you know, Ansu Fati, they basically, you know, anointed him as the next, you know, the next one for their club. So we'll see how he reacts. Obviously, he looks amazing, and he's still young. He still has so much to learn. You know, he's 19. He just turned 19, so he's got a lot of things. He's got a lot of positive things ahead of him. Still have their quality players, like you mentioned, with Dembele, with Frankie de Jong, with Pedri. You know, they have Dest from, was it Ajax? Yeah, Ajax.
Yes, yep.
Right back, yeah. So yeah, I think they're definitely some steps behind in the process, but I think they're too good of a club to be like this long term. So we'll see how things plan out. But it's definitely something we have to watch over, because it's going to be a longer process, I feel like, than compared to Man United.
Yeah, 100%. That pretty much answers the question from Martin. That was brought in from Martin. Move on from a question from your side, and then we'll answer that one.
Yeah, next question was, who will win the UEFA Champions League this season?
See, I think before I had Man United, but I want to take that one back just for a second there. To be honest with you, it's close here, but this year I feel like it's Madrid's year without Ronaldo.
Wow.
They obviously, I didn't think they were gonna make it to the semis that far last year. Obviously, they shocked me. Benzema's playing very well. But this year, I think Madrid just has that fire. Bale's really starting to get it back into his form. And the whole team's just starting to click. Vinicius Jr. is finally shooting the ball. He's no more running through defenders and trying to, score, highlight real goal. But him and Benzema are finally clicking. Bale's finally clicking. I guess Modric and Kroos are just, they play how they usually play in the midfield. I get they lost Ramos, but the defense has really come up. So was Courtois. I think that team is just very well built, and Ancelotti has really made a great team, great tactics. So I have Madrid winning it.
I think, yeah, you definitely raised some good points. I think I'm going to go with Bayern, though.
Okay, yep.
I think Lewandowski is, just like Benzema, he's on one this season. And I think the continuity of Bayern with their whole team, they have enough guys off the bench who can help out. They have too much firepower. And they play so together that I think when it's time for them to turn up, they'll turn up. They should at least make the final. But I'm going to go with Bayern. And I know that PSG should win the whole thing, but I'm not convinced yet. I'm not convinced that they will.
Yeah, I agree. They've only really come up in the Champions League. Messi's, that's where Messi appears, is in the Champions League. You don't see him anywhere in Liga. I know some of you are going to say, oh, what about Liverpool? You know, they're playing phenomenal, good form. But I feel like that defeat against West Ham is really, I know they went 26 games unbeaten until West Ham came in. But I just feel like that loss is just going to, I don't know. I just have a feeling where it's just going to not sit well with them. I feel like their confidence has really taken a hit there in the team. And I just feel like there's better teams out there that have a better shot, and they've just been playing well. You have Bayern, I got Madrid. Maybe that's the finals, you know. Maybe it's Bayern versus Madrid, Lewandowski versus Benzema. But, yeah, I got Madrid. You got Bayern. So that answers – that pretty much answers that question there.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
We backed it up, so we'll move on to – the second couple questions I have here. I had a NFL question. Obviously, we try to limit that in this podcast. So we'll skip over that one. I had an interesting one that's been actually going around Instagram a lot, Police Report and House of Highlights. They actually made a little clip about it. Kevin Durant or Larry Bird. Which was, you know, two of the greatest small forwards that ever played a game. And it's the comments are 50-50. So who do you got? You got KD or you got Larry Bird?
I think KD will beat him. Prime versus prime, obviously. I just think... I know Larry Bird was why I just think KD's ability to make any type of shot will put him over the edge over Larry. I know Larry was very skilled. He could shoot just as well as KD. But I think KD's length and ability to make every type of shot consistently will put him over the edge. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think it'd be like, let's say they play to a 11, it'll be like an 11-9 type of thing. But yeah, I'll take KD every day of the week. How about you?
I'm gonna disagree with this one.
What?
I got the bird. On my list, he makes my top 10 of all time list easily. Obviously I can bring in the accolades and stuff, but we're not talking about accolades here. We're talking about skill versus skill. Obviously Larry Bird, he's a lights out shooter. One of 3-point competition easily. He can shoot, he can great defender. He can play defense whenever you need him to. Obviously he doesn't have the height as KD, but he's still tall. The one thing that is going to push Bird over the edge in a prime versus prime matchup against KD is the confidence. Bird he's like a white Michael Jordan when it comes to trash talking. He went into confidence. He shined. You know, he went into a game against, I think it was Portland, and he said, I'm a scorer. I'm going to just use my left hand this whole game. And he scored about like 36. Dropped 36 just using his left, his weak hand. So I just feel like the skill-wise, evenly matched, but I just feel like in the end, it comes to the crunch time and throughout the game, I just feel like Bird has that tiny bit more confidence, and he can get underneath KD's skin, and he obviously has the defensive skill to stop him. So it could be a blowout, as you said. It was probably 11-9, maybe 11-8. But I just feel like that confidence would just give Bird that edge over KD. Skill-wise, even, but when it comes down to it, Bird's confidence will just rally him to the win. So I got Bird.
It's a good answer. It's a good answer. I can see where you're coming from. But because no one could hold KD one-on-one, you know, now I feel like even Larry doesn't stand a chance. Because once KD gets it going, like, he's not.
Bird's a lockdown.
I guess it's maybe tough. The rules might have to matter
yeah.
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if they're playing in Larry's error,
done. KD's soft. He's a cupcake.
This guy's a LeBron fan.
I'm not a LeBron fan. I'm not. As by, you know, he might be in the Lakers, but
this guy's biased.
Nah, it's this one's tough. This debate was tough.
It is. It is.
A KD versus Bird. It's tough. It's two hands down one two of the greatest small forwards. Obviously LeBron's the best, but I'm not a LeBron fan, people. This is LeBron locks, you know. It's Kobe. It's I'm a Kobe guy. Kobe forever and always. Lonzo Ball forever and always. But everyone's got a different opinion. So you got KD, I got Bird.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's two. We backed up with two reasonable points.
Yeah, that's fair.
They're two prolific goal scorers, so I mean yep. buckets. So, yeah, that answers Numi's question. Move on to one of yours, and then we'll keep going back and forth.
Mm-hmm. The next question was Zidane versus Ronaldinho. Who had the better career? This one is very tough.
It is.
I was looking at the accolades just a little bit. Very similar career paths. I saw a quote actually as well, who I think it was from Pep Guardiola, and he said if Ronaldinho had discipline, he would be the greatest player to ever play football. And I was like, whoa, that's a broad statement. That's a pretty brash statement. But then I look about, you know, I look at how his career kind of planned out. I think because his game was so flamboyant and just based around flair, and he knew that the people loved it, you know, he knew that, you know, that's what football was all about for him. I felt like he didn't feel he needed to, you know, kind of turn off the flair a little bit. You know what I mean? Kind of just be more disciplined in his approach to playing the game. But I think that was a testament to how much he loved football. It wasn't about, you know, I think it was bigger than him winning, you know, games and winning accolades. It was more about, I'm here to put on a show for everyone type of thing. To where, like, if you compare it to Zidane, like, he wasn't the fastest, he wasn't the most athletic. But when he touched the ball, it's like you couldn't touch him. You couldn't keep up with him. He was too smart in the way he played the game. You know, he was always two or three steps ahead of his opponent. You know, master of the roulette, a winner. Like, this guy carried France. And I'm not saying Ronaldinho didn't do any of these things. It's just you can see the differences in their play style. One was much more disciplined than the other. So, I won't give my answer yet, but what do you think?
I got Ronaldinho. He was the Messi before the Messi. Obviously, he had the flair, but just the ability to take on four players with so much confidence, not being scared, not being terrified, and just get it through even easily. Obviously, one of the best. Skilled, you know, most skilled player I've ever watched. Technical with his feet, very good footwork. Obviously, accolades go to Zidane. The two same positions, but I just feel like what Ronaldinho brought to the game, and you know, Pele and Maradona said he's the greatest player they've ever seen. On the pitch, Messi before the Messi, and he just shined everywhere he went. Doesn't matter if he went to Barcelona, he came back, and went around the world, but just spectacular to watch, and just he has a wow factor to him. Zidane obviously was a good player, great player for France, great player for his clubs, and they both had fantastic goals throughout their career. Obviously, they you think about the goal against Chelsea with Ronaldinho, who just stood there at the edge of the box and curved it in. You think about the goal from Zidane and the volley into the top corner. Two great players, but if I put him one on one on the pitch, I just feel like Ronaldinho is just going to outwork him. Footwork, easy getting by him. Prime versus prime. I'm picking Ronaldinho 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah. It's really hard to say. What you mentioned is all true, of course. The Messi before the Messi. I think the question of who had the better career is very hard to answer because they both basically won the same thing. In terms of trophies, they've won every major trophy in the game.
Yeah, similar. Yep.
So, like, it's hard to say. The goal record, Ronaldinho completely overpowers him. It's very hard. It's hard to say.
I think if we're going career or player, I feel like career wise, Zidane had a better career, but Ronaldinho is a better player.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
That'd be my final answer. Better career wise goes to Zidane. Better player goes Ronaldinho.
The only real negative to Ronaldinho is his lack of discipline, which hindered him in his career. But I think his ability to entertain, to just play beautiful football all the time, that never wavered. And you can never say, you know, he fell off in that regard. So you have to say he is the better player. So, and I think Ronaldinho also inspired, I don't want to say he inspired the game more, but you know what I mean? Like how he inspired like everyone in the world. Like some people hated Zidane. Some people hate Zidane, but no one hates Ronaldinho. So I think that's a difference as well.
100%. I agree.
Yeah. I think we have time one more.
We can see here. How many questions you got left?
That was my last question.
That was your last? Okay.
Yeah.
I think I have I had another question, but it's very controversial. So that one was a question. I was like, I can't answer that on here.
Okay.
we have one here. Who is more important to the team, a coach or the star player?
Oof, that's a good question. That's a really good question.
It is a good question. That's another question from Numi.
Wow.
That is tough. You know, the coach is kind of the mastermind behind the whole, you know, gets the gameplay tactics,
mm-hmm.
Gets to pick starting lineup and gets the plays going.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't be the one who executes him. That's the star player.
Exactly.
It's tough, you know, because LeBron's kind of a coach and a star player on a team. Mm-hmm. When he was in Cleveland, he was the coach and the star player. You know, you got a lot of players who are like player coaches, like Draymond Green. He's a star player and he's a coach on the court. You see him coaching the young people. Oh, it's tough, though. That is tough.
That is, yeah. Who's the most important?
Who's the most important? I might go coach here. I just feel like
I think it is coach. Yeah.
The coach is just like, you know, he's the brains behind the operation. Star player is obviously the operation. He makes the system work. But
yeah,
if the coach can't build around him and get a system where he fits, where the star player fits perfectly, then it can work.
Yeah, that's the answer right there. Because you can have a system, but if you don't have the right system to get the best out of your players, it won't work. So exactly. That's why the coach is the most important. Yeah. Because when we think about it, you know, how many times have you heard people say, we can coach ourselves, right? Like when you have a bunch of stars and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Oh, we can just coach ourselves because we're so good. But no, you need that, you know, authoritative figure to kind of put everybody in check, kind of check the egos and implement a system to where everyone follows because they realize it's bigger than them, especially in a team setting, but also for individual sports as well. I still think a coach is, yeah, everyone needs a coach. Everyone needs a
coach. Yeah. The coach makes players better. Simple.
Exactly.
Practice and stuff, so.
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I'd love to hear the feedback from, you know, the audience. What do you all think is more important, the coach or the star player?
Yeah, I want to hear people's opinions on that one. Mm-hmm. And opinions on other questions, you know. Tell us about the Barcelona situation. Tell us KD Bird. Tell us Zidane and Ronaldinho. Tell us who's going to win the Champions League, you know. Mm-hmm. Let us know. But that pretty much concludes episode 6 Q&A. Next episode will be again on aired 2 p.m. on Tuesday. Every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Catch us here. But that wraps up episode 6 of the Sports Bible. And let us know. Answer the questions that you guys gave to us. Answer your own question.
Yes. Let us know, and we will see you next week for episode 7 of the Sports Bible.
Take it easy, people.
Take care.